The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Number 676, I have found a friend in Jesus. 676, let's sing it this morning.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's a fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
I stand amazed in the
Let's take our hymn books again, please. Number 664. 664, let's stand as we sing. It is glory just to walk with Him. 664. Mothers in attendance this year, we have some music for you, a CD called She Shall Be Praised. And these are good songs from different ladies, and one of the songs is from Emily Featherstone, was featured on this. Comes from Bible Truth Music, so we have one of those for all the mothers here today. And there's also a song called Choose Life. We are against abortion, amen, and we choose life. By the way, I don't even think it's a choice. I don't know why we call it Choose Life. It's not a choice. It is God ordained that we should have the sanctity of life. And so ladies, please get one of those on your way out this morning. We have several birthdays. I figured out finally how to work this program, so I missed a couple anniversaries last week I'll tell you about. But today we have Mrs. Fett, Ruth Fett's birthday today. And then Carla Wood is also today. Daniel, you're going broke. It's a birthday and Mother's Day, all right? So just a public service announcement for you. Muriel Atkinson's birthday is this week on tomorrow, so we have three tomorrow. Miss Britton, tomorrow is her birthday. And Kirsten Schramm, one of our bus kids. And then on Tuesday, Amanda Baker, Bill Felder, Will Norton, all three. And Will just had a spiritual birthday a week ago. He got saved. Will Norton just got accepted Christ as his Savior two Sundays ago. Allegra Filbert, another bus kid, is on Wednesday. And then on Friday, Jordan Barber, Christian Gomez, one of our Master Club's children, and Ray Vogel this Friday. And so wish all those a happy birthday. And then we do have some anniversaries, and I missed some last week, so let me mention those. Scott and Jennifer Vanderploeg celebrated their 10th anniversary this past Tuesday, so congratulations to them. And then today, You think Daniel has it bad. Dwayne and Bonnie Forth are having their 35th wedding anniversary today. Congratulations. As well as Mother's Day, and her birthday is just a few days off. You're going to need a second job, brother. All right? And she agreed with me when we talked about that. She said, oh, yes, he is. And so, all right. And then this week, we have some others. Fred and Marilyn Pankhurst. Congratulations. That is Wednesday. Is that correct? Wednesday? I'm trying to get the dates with the days. And then on next Sunday, we have David and Ruth Fett and Jim and Joanne Wood all celebrating next Sunday. So congratulations to all these folks. And some of these are many, many years, and we praise the Lord for that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on our day together. Pastor McPherson, if you'll come.
I thought my list was hard after last week. Well, that was a lot harder. Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day for all the mothers here this morning. I just want to read to you one verse from the Bible concerning mothers, what the Lord said. They were seeking him and couldn't find him. He was teaching in the temple. He answered and said unto him, thou told me who is my mother and who are my brethren. And he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. If we do God's will, this is the important thing for a mother. I'd like to welcome to those viewing by live stream and by TV. We would like to continue to pray for Shirley Judge, as her brother James Brewer has passed away, and they had the service on Monday. Continue to pray for her. We're going to bow for a word of prayer. Jimmy Roberts is back now. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming back to us. Could you have a word of prayer for us?
Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come to this morning.
You guys ready to go to Sunday school? You're not? You're not going to go? You want to stay here, Kavon? I think they got something special for you this morning. Maybe they got something for you to give to your mother for Mother's Day. That would be nice. I'm sure your mother would appreciate a flower. All right. Well, I don't know what it is, so we're going to pray now so you can go find out what they have for you to give to your mother. All right? So let's have every head bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day which you can enjoy. We just ask right now you just be with the boys and girls so they go off to your church and just help them to learn from God's word today, Lord. And just also be with them as they make a craft for their mothers that they can give to them for Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, follow your teachers. You are dismissed.
Amen. Let's stand and sing as the children are dismissed this morning. 669, since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin. 669, save, save, save.
Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin.
Where she can lay up precious treasures of the kind that will not fade.
Precious memories of her children gathered up mid-daily cares as she kneels before her father. They're subject to her
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2. We welcome back Casey and Leah back from college. We're glad that they returned home safely. And of course, Brad went down to West Coast as well and received his diploma this week. And so we're thankful that they're all back safely. And then Paul McDonald's still traveling. They took some time for a family vacation as well. And so they'll be back in another week. And so we're thankful that everybody's coming home safely. One that is not coming home right away is our son, Brendan. And Brendan is involved in ministry in Chicago this summer. He's working in Jewish ministries, and they're going into the Jewish areas of Chicago and knocking on doors all day, 8 hours a day, telling the Jewish people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited for that and for him. And so it's driving his mother around the bend that she can't see him. And so we're hoping to slip down there to see him for a day or two and visit with him. And so be in prayer for him. And if you'd be in prayer for him, he was involved in a car accident Friday night, and he's okay, but the car was totaled and the airbags went off and injured his nose and things. And so he just says, "I'm just sore all over right now." And so he wasn't driving, praise the Lord, but he was shaken up pretty good, and he's awful sore today. And so just be in prayer for him as his body heals up. All right, Titus chapter 2. I want to congratulate somebody else, the Stride family. Would you wave to everybody this morning? A week ago Friday, they became Canadian citizens. And so we're thankful for that, and we congratulate you, and welcome to our great country. You've actually lived here for about 10 years now. Now it's official, you can't leave. And so we praise the Lord for that, and we're so glad that you're a part of our country, that you are now Canadian. And so welcome to Canada. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. The Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand it today, speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you have given something for everybody. And in this passage, we see young men, old men, young ladies, aged ladies. Lord, all of us can grab something from the scripture today and apply it to our lives. But Lord, as we speak to the ladies and to the families today, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move us, Lord, to do what we are supposed to do, to be the type of Christian you want us to be. Father, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I need your help. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there really is no better way to honor the ladies today but to lift up some great truths that God has placed before us about what godly women are to be. I think you would agree with me, and it is growing increasingly evident each and every day, that Satan is attacking our families. If you think about all the issues of the day and the things that are circling around in our laws and in our government and in morality and all the rest, it all comes back to the attack on the family. Abortion destroys families. Homosexuality has nothing to do with the family. It's an attack on the family. Satan will do whatever he can to destroy God's ordained plan for man and woman, that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I don't know how they missed that scripture. We see that immorality and adultery and all these things that are becoming so prevalent in our society today, people will choose to live together rather than get married. That's an attack on our family. Satan must be kicking up his heels and giggling and laughing as he blasphemes against God. All of these schemes are hatched in the pits of hell. They're aimed directly at destroying our homes. I want you to notice what the scripture says by way of introduction this morning in verse 1. Paul is writing to Titus as he is on the island of Crete. And the island of Crete was full of people who were very, very heathenistic. Some of you men today, maybe your wife at some time said to you, "You're nothing but a Cretan." Well, that's where this phrase comes from. Cretan is kind of like a knuckle dragger, somebody that breathes through his mouth and somebody that doesn't have a lot of dignity or class. And maybe you've been accused of that at some time, men. I don't know for sure, but I would hope not. But maybe you've been mistaken as a Cretan. Well, the island of Crete was full of these types of people. They were barbarians. And Titus was to come and to establish churches, and so they had to get right down to the very brass tacks of it all, and he began to say, here's some things that you should teach. In verse chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, the word "become" here is not talking about in a progressive way. In other words, you teach the Bible, and one day we hope that it'll become sound doctrine. No, the Bible is sound doctrine from the start. It doesn't have to become anything. The Bible, what it is saying here is often we will say something to somebody. We might say, well, maybe we don't talk like this a whole lot anymore, but in days past, somebody might have said, well, that tie is very becoming. And that's what the word here means. It means to beautify or adorn or to be attractive in that sense. And so the Bible says to the Titus, I want you to teach things that will glorify and beautify doctrine. Paul says, don't mess your time with vain babblings and all these questions and genealogies we see in other parts of the Bible. He says, don't waste your time and fooling around with all these silly side issues, but just preach good sound doctrine. That will beautify the things of God. So that's what we are to do. We are to outfight or to beautify sound doctrine. Now verse 10 gives us another word. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. The word "adorn" there is the root word for the word we get the word cosmetics. Sometimes we adorn the Christmas tree. We make it look beautiful. We use the word "adorn" in that sense, and that's what the word means. It means to that the inward man needs more work than the outward man. All of the things that we will look at today, those things that are aimed at our hearts, are meant to beautify or adorn the inner man, or in this case, the inner woman. And we are to apply them to our lives, that what God sees on the inside as beautiful as what we portray on the outside. I want you to notice some things about the godly woman this morning. The Bible says in verse 3, the aged women likewise. A lot of you are sitting back and closing your Bibles and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm not an aged woman. This has nothing to do with me. The word aged here does not mean old. Aren't you glad for that? The word aged literally means a woman that no longer has her children at home. So it's just somebody that has passed that stage of mothering. Now, I got to be honest with you. I thought it would get easier once our kids started getting into college and moving away from home. I tell you what, you worry just as much. You pray just as hard. And you get a call at 2:30 in the morning and saying, Dad, I was in a car accident. And oh, my heavens, you can't be there. You can't do anything. And you think, well, when they're 18, praise the Lord. No, it goes on forever, doesn't it? We care and we concern and we pray and we worry. The Bible talks about the aged women and the ones that have had their children grown. In other words, they are women of experience. Women that have spent some time in life and they understand what life is about and they have grown through experience and grown through trials and they've learned to trust in God and they have a mandate. The Bible gives a mandate to the godly woman, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Here's the mandate, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You see, what the young ladies of our church are to learn about Christian womanhood, they're not going to learn primarily from this pulpit. We, from time to time, will open the Bible and we'll preach a subject such as this morning from Titus chapter 2. We might look at Proverbs 31. We'll look at some scriptures about moms and ladies. And you'll go to ladies' meetings like the ladies' tea yesterday and you'll have a lady get up and speak specifically to ladies' issues. But the truth of the matter is, God has ordained that the aged women teach the younger women. I think that screams out loud to us that we are to be examples to the next generation. That we are to be sure that we are adorning ourselves as women that profess to be godly, that we might show the next generation. But then, we could just take the word lady out and put men in, and it's the very same thing for us. We are to be examples to those that are following us. Years ago, we were teasing a fella, and he was Mr. McKenzie. He's 88 years old now, and just a few years ago, we were teasing him on the way out the door, and Mr. Paquin said to him, well, you behave yourself this week, and he said, why should I start now? And he said, because I'm watching. And he went, oh, people are watching, and I ought to be an example. Jerry Paquin's father had died when he was just a baby. And he looked at Alistair like he was a father. Somebody is always watching. What we do and how we behave professes something about us. But more importantly, it professes something about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your reputation is important. You're supposed to be careful about your name. That's all we have. Your reputation is important. A reputation is how you present yourself or how you represent yourself. But your testimony is so much more important because it's how you represent Jesus Christ. That's the difference between the two. And each of us have a testimony this morning that we are mandated by Scripture that we are to teach the young ladies. You are to teach the young women to be sober. Our older women have a God-given responsibility of how to be good wives and mothers and homemakers. The younger women also have a responsibility to listen. I don't know about you, but it's bothered me that for 6,000 years of human history, everything was going just fine. Then a fellow by the name of Dr. Spock comes along and says, don't spank your children. You'll squelch their personality. I'm here to tell you, my personality was squelched all over the yard. Amen? Didn't do me any harm. My mom was a hairdresser. She had some big hairbrushes. Wade's still got marks. I'm telling you. But isn't it funny how 6,000 years we were doing just fine. And all of a sudden, this generation knows better. Well, mom, you may have done it that way. Or dad, you may have done it that way. But you don't really know. You don't know what the world is like. Friends, I'm here to tell you that if they're to be the example, that means God wants you to listen and view that example as a godly example that's placed before you. You are to pattern yourselves after that. You are to look up to that. You are to aspire to be that. I am thankful for people in our church that we can look up to and aspire and say they are people that follow after God. I'm afraid today that too many of our examples are people like Oprah Winfrey, who denies the true and living God and says there's many ways to heaven. The world is sending all kinds of negative messages to our young people. They'll say stuff, well, if you're not satisfied or if you're not happy in your marriage, just go ahead and leave. It's okay. It's all about you and all about being happy. We need some older ladies that will teach. The Bible says, notice what it says in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. How do we teach that? By being committed to your husband. I'm thankful for anniversaries. To me, 35 years today, that's a big deal. I'm thankful for that. And last week we had the Dorksons at 66 years and the Spongs at 65 years. And I'm thankful for that. And boy, I tell you what, we're going to say that loud and clear when we have that go on in the church, because we want people to see that example. Hey, I think if I were to get with the Spongs, I think we could honestly say, I'm not here to air your dirty laundry, but there's probably times you look back and say, well, we had some hard times. There were some tough days. These two, they're in love like teenagers today, so you'd never know it. They're always holding hands in the hallway, and I mean, they sit on the back row so you don't see how they behave in church, let me tell you. But I think that's neat to see them like a pair of teenagers, just so in love. But they're going to tell you there were some tough times. There were some times where they weren't sure the bills were going to be paid, and there was times where maybe they wondered, will we make it? But by God's grace. You see, love is a commitment, not an emotion. And that's what the world wants you to say, to think today, that they have this eros love. This love that feels good. This love that makes you bubble over. Love is a commitment. And we learn to love one another. You know, for thousands of years in Eastern cultures, they arranged marriages. And then they learned to love each other. We know a young couple today that I was pastor of, that they're just 25, 26 years old. 6-7 years ago, their marriage was arranged. Dad came home one night and he said to his son, oh, you're getting married in 3 weeks. I said, what? He says, who is it? And he thought it would be the girl's sister, and it wasn't, it was her. And I asked him one day, I said, so when you guys got married, were you in love? He says, I love her now. He says, we grew to love each other. Well, that'd be tough, wouldn't it? But they genuinely love each other. They have 4 children now, and they're just so much in love. You see, we can learn to love one another. We have to be committed first. That's biblical love. Being committed one to another, then growing into that love that we feel like we should have. So that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That's what we are to teach the younger generation. You know, I know that you're probably not appreciating that word aged, but let me reemphasize. That's just a woman of experience. That's a woman that could come alongside a young lady and encourage her in her marriage and encourage her in her child rearing and be a help. Don't be a critic, but be a help. Be a love. That's her mandate, the godly woman. Secondly, I want you to see her motive. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, it says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Amen, Ida? But look at the next phrase. Here's the motive. That the word of God be not blasphemed. The word of God be not blasphemed. That's the motive for the godly woman. You say, why is that? Well, because when marriages fall apart, the world says, oh, I told you. You don't have any answers over there at that church. The Word of God isn't really the authority in our lives, and you're having the same problems everybody else has. Let me tell you a secret. We do have all the same problems everybody else has, but we have the grace of God, and we have the help of the Holy Spirit, and we have Jesus Christ walking beside us to help us through those dark valleys, and we need to reach out and cling to Him and trust Him to get us through some of these hard times. But our motive, you say, why would I teach the young women? And the young women say, why would I listen, and why would I be discreet and chaste and a keeper at home and good and obedient to their own husbands? Why would I do that? so that God is not blasphemed. So the Word of God is not blasphemed. Simply put, the best thing you can do to improve the influence of Bethel Baptist Church in Simcoe is to help build strong families. That's really what we ought to be doing. Every time the community learns about a failure, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a moral failure, whatever it might be, they look at it as a church failure. They look at it as a failure of God. God has never failed. And so we must have the testimony that we are trusting in God and growing. Does it mean we'll be perfect? No, we're sinners. We're flesh. But our motives are, and all that we do is that the Word of God be not blasphemed. I want you to notice, thirdly, not just her motive, but her manner of life. And here's some important things here. Verse 3 says, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. As becometh holiness. Again, the word becometh there means to adorn or to make beautiful. You know, the world has a terrible idea of what holiness is. They look at it as if it's a scourge or something they don't want. And, well, if I had to live holy, I'd have to give up all kinds of things. The world is very, very foolish. I've been to different things, you know, and you'll go to a graduation ceremony or you'll go to something like that. And somebody, all they have to do is say, well, when this is done, I'm going to go have a beer. And the whole crowd goes, ah! And I thought, well, really? What if I said I'm going to have a milk? Would you get that excited? Because there's all kinds of worldly foolishness that goes along with alcohol. Much of stupidity, really. Destroys homes and families. I'm not preaching on that today, but let's just park there for a second. Alcohol will ruin your life. It will destroy you. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your bank account. You say, well, I want to retire one day. Then don't drink. Let me tell you that. One day, my wife and I were taking out our blue boxes, and we were up on in a condominium up in the West Mountain of Hamilton, and we were carrying out our blue boxes, and our neighbor took their blue box, and they put it down, and he looked over at our blue box, and he looked at his, and his was just overflowing with whiskey bottles and wine bottles and all kinds of stuff, you know, just overflowing. And he looked at mine, and he goes, you guys don't drink? We said, no. He says, you know that you save between $300 and $400 a month? Because that's what this costs right here. I said, $300 and $400 a month? He says, yeah. He says, I spend another $150 a month on cigarettes too. He says, you guys don't smoke either. But listen, never mind the financial advantages of it. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your family. How many families have been destroyed today because of the bottle? How many of us have destroyed our testimony and destroyed our level of immorality because when we take the drink, it lowers the inhibitions? Be careful about the bottle. The word holiness has a stigma in the world today. But we are to adorn holiness. We are to become God holiness. And look what the Bible says in verse 3. Be in behavior as becometh holiness. The word behavior literally means a fragrance. Every year, the great high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And while he was in there, he'd burn incense. And when he came out, no doubt his clothes smelled of incense. Think about that. Have you ever been in a place where your clothes, you come out smelling like that? Boy, years ago, you could smoke in the Tim Hortons places, you know, and you'd hate coming out of there because you'd smell like cigarette smoke. So you wouldn't want to go get a coffee on a Sunday morning. You'd come to church smell like smoke, and you'd go, oh, wow, I don't want to be like that. You know how that smell can get into your clothes? That incense would get into that priest's clothes, and as he was going home and people stop and talk to people and visit with people, they could smell that odor and they would know that he'd been with God. That's what the word behavior here means. That when people get around you, they know you're holy because they sense it. They can smell it on you. That's what the word behavior means. They don't have to question your motives. They don't dig deep into your past, into your life, because simply you live your life in such a way that your behavior becomes holiness. It just exudes out of your life. There's an aura or a glow about a godly woman as the beauty of Christ radiates from her life. And then the Bible gives us some instructions how we can achieve that. First of all, verse 3, not false accusers, literally not a gossip. The tongue can destroy as well. The book of James talks about it as being a little fire, but it says, behold what fire just a little can kindle. Just a match thrown the wrong way can start a forest fire. And a tongue of fire can destroy lives. Let us be careful of our tongue. Don't be a false accuser. Then the Bible says, not given to much wine. Wine, in this sense, was used in a medicinal purpose. They're saying, if you're using wine in a medicinal purpose for medicine, we have alcoholic things today that we use for medicine. He says, but don't be given to it. Don't be drinking it just for fun. We already talked about alcohol this morning and how it destroys a life. A woman will be a woman that is in control of her life. Not given to much wine. Then the Bible says, teachers of good things. Let me say this, that every one of us today have influence. You have influence. We must be careful how we use that influence. And when we're teaching, we ought to teach good things. I was talking to a friend yesterday, John McConkie. John gave me a call, and we're thankful. John's coming up this way to Northern Michigan on vacation. He's going to pop over for a Sunday to visit, and he's going to preach for us on a Sunday morning. And I was just talking to John, and he was talking about some Bible colleges and things. He's looking to hire some staff. God has blessed their little church. He took a church about 3 years ago in North Carolina. And in those 3 years, their church has gone from 75 to 150 people. And God is just seeing people saved there all the time. They had 19 folks saved last month, and he was baptizing 5 this morning, and just exciting what is going on in this little military town. And so he says, I need to hire somebody. He says, I'm just run ragged trying to keep up. And so he's trying to hire. He says, well, what about this college? He says, should I call them? I said, well, here's my concern. I said, I think for the most part, it's a pretty good college. I said, but I do know this. I said, a couple years ago, they were having some folks that were preaching in the pulpit there that didn't believe what we believe. And I said, then they just had another guy in a couple weeks ago, and he was preaching some stuff. And I said, he comes from this certain ministry. And I said, it is totally opposed to what we believe in the Bible. And I said, I understand that he was trying to use some special things going on. But I said, what he has just done, what that president or that pastor has just done, has influenced those students to say, hey, it's okay to have false doctrine. It's okay to use a different Bible. I said, the direction that the school is going is a problem. I said, I'd be very careful getting a student from there. You see, we have to be careful how we use our influence. The Bible says, be a teacher of good things. Be positive. Teach them the Word of God. Show them positive things. If you're going to err on the side of caution, Paul says, I won't eat meat ever again if people think it's offered to idols. I won't do it. I don't want anybody to think I'm not going to cause anybody to stumble. We have to deny ourselves to be an encouragement and a help to others. That's what the Bible means when it says teachers of good things. And I want you to see her message. Her message, verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And we'll look back at one more in verse 4, the word sober. Sober. The word sober in verse 4 and the word discreet in verse 5 have similar meanings. It means to be sober-minded or serious-minded, to be level-headed, able to make good judgments. Proverbs chapter 31, one of the things it says about the godly woman there is that her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because she's sober and discreet. She makes good choices. She's serious and level-headed. Then the Bible says that they love their husbands. I was telling you earlier this morning that in Bible days it was reversed. People would learn to love their husbands, but we are married today, and the Bible commands us to, husbands, love your wives. And wives are to be taught to love their husbands. The chances are that over the years you've gone through much in your marriage, but you chose to stick it out. It's not always easy, but we must trust God and learn to love. Then the Bible says, love their children. Do you have to learn that? Do you have to learn that? I think a lot of people do. Abortion is at an all-time high. If people love their children, they wouldn't be killing them. we are in a society today. I was excited. Just I shared something with Brother Paul, a little video the other day, that since 1972, when Roe versus Wade was passed, things were progressively getting worse. But you know, in the last 3 years, abortions have started to drop. Things are starting to improve. We just learned a couple weeks ago that in Ohio, you cannot get an abortion if the doctor can hear a beating heart. Praise the Lord. So now if the child has already died, they can remove the child. But if the child's alive, you cannot have an abortion in Ohio anymore. Praise the Lord. In Texas, they have raised the regulations so high that out of 39 abortion clinics, only 6 are still open because the other 33 said, we cannot even do an abortion anymore. We just can't work like that. Praise the Lord. I believe that God is going to have the victory. And we're starting to see it turn around. But listen, if we loved our children, that wouldn't be a problem. Some say that they love their children too much to discipline them. We don't know what real love is. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's what real love is. Then the Bible uses the word in verse 5, chaste. Chaste. Chaste means to be pure and modest. You understand, modesty is not just about your dress. Modesty is about the things you talk about. Modesty is about the things that you portray. Modesty is about the things that you will listen to and think is funny. Well, I tell you, sometimes you're in the workplace and you might hear a dirty joke and things. Modesty says, I don't want to hear that. That's filthy. That's dirty. And your heart turns away from it, and you, to the best of your ability, try to leave that place. That's what modesty is. And a woman that is chaste doesn't want to hear all that dirty stuff. She doesn't want to have it cross her lips. I think the public schools have taught the last generation of children, and because of that, there's no longer any modesty or chastity left. It's places of filth. Then the Bible says that she is to be a keeper at home. Now, if you must work to provide, do it for the needs, but not your wants. We should never let our homes to suffer because we're working so much that we're not there to take care of the needs at home. Be a keeper at home. 1 Timothy 5:14, the Bible says this, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. That's God's plan. I'm not here to say that a woman shouldn't have a job. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that your priority is your home, first and foremost. That's your priority. That's the place where your children should feel safe. That's where your children should know that they're going to get fed. That's a place where I was discouraged a few years ago. Pastor McLean and I were talking, and there was a family in their church that was, the husband had died, and the mom had met somebody, and there was nothing wrong with that, and she was starting to get involved, and eventually they did get married. And he says, I called him. Pastor McLean, when he gets discouraged, I can sense it. You just know. I said, you all right today, Doc? He says, well, I was just talking to the kids over at this house. And I said, oh yeah, how are they doing? He says, you know, I just said, well, what are you having for supper tonight? Oh, we don't know. We don't know if mom will be home. And we're talking about 12 and 10 years old and not even know if they're going to get a hot meal that night. That's irresponsible. The Bible says we're to be keepers at home. Ladies, be keepers at home. Take care of those things. And then the Bible says, obedient to their own husbands. Well, I think that's one of the toughest things today. Because in our day and age, we exalt everything that is against Christ. But it's God's order. I'm not saying this to oppress women in any way. I'm saying that God has placed order in our lives for a purpose. Everybody's accountable to somebody. We answer to God, we answer to authorities all around us, and the Bible says that there ought to be an order in the home. And don't get me wrong, my wife and I talk about every important decision. We pray about it, and we understand that. We help one another. But there comes a time sometimes where dad has to say, this is what I'm doing for my family, and we are to obey that. God has placed the mantle. By the way, ladies, you don't like it, your husband has to stand before God for it one day. he will take account before God. And he will give account of the things that happened in his family, and he's going to have to answer for God. Don't make it harder for him. We are to be obedient to our own husbands. Titus chapter 2 gives us her mandate, the godly woman's mandate. Gives us her motive, her manner of life, and her message. And now look at verse 10. Why? This is a summary for all the different people groups it talks about. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Why do we do all this? That God might be glorified. That we might beautify the doctrine of God. That might be wonderful. I'll close with an illustration. Several years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Felder, Barry and Jennifer, were having a get-together, and they were telling us about this. And Barry said, "Hon," or whatever he calls her, you know, he says, would you mind getting me, and I don't know if it was just a cold drink of water or what it was. And Jennifer, lightheartedly, just jokingly, she said, "Yes, my master." And she jumped up real cheerful, and she ran to the kitchen, and she got him whatever he needed. And let me tell you, Pastor Rutherford was saying, did that start a firestorm with one of the ladies in the church? Boy, she was angry. Why would you call him? Why would you? And Jennifer gave him a great answer. She said, "Because I love him, and I want to honor the Lord." That's all they needed. And the lady just went, "Oh, okay." What a great answer. We just want to honor the Lord. That's what we want to do, is honor God. And ladies, if you will be that example, and young ladies, if you will see that example and follow that example, and if we will learn to be sober and love our husbands and love our children and be chaste and keepers at home, and all these things the Scripture gives us this morning, are we going to be perfect? No. But I believe that God will be honored when we do our very best to commit ourselves to the Word of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for our wives and moms and those that have influenced our lives. And we do thank you for the godly examples we have here in our church. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn to both be an example and to follow a good example. Father, the most important example we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he thought himself equal with God, became a servant and he humbled himself. So, Father, help us to have that attitude in all things. And, Father, we'll give you thanks and praise this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Would you just take some time to pray about what the Bible has said to us this morning? That will we be what we ought to be? Listen, I know that we're not in a perfect world. We're in a world of sin and a world of struggle and hardship and heartache. We just need to pray and ask God for wisdom and help to do our very best to live for Him. Brother Baker's going to sing a little hymn. If God has spoke to your heart, take some time. Pray about it this morning.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for being here. We're so glad that you're here. Let's make sure you get one of these CDs. Ladies, if you're here, we want you to have one of those. So we'll have Brother Took. They are in the Welcome Center in a nice brown basket there. If you would get those out and get those ready to be given out, and you and Brother McPherson can hand those out at the door, make sure you get one of those. I'm sure that'll be a help and a blessing to you. It's always good to have some good music. All right. Tonight, we're going to do something a little different tonight. Lord, God bless our guys in the media, because he's just finding out now that we are totally changing the service tonight. And you would never know it. I do that all the time to those guys. And I just say that to thank them, because I do it all the time. Add something, change something, and you wouldn't even know it. They're so seamless in how quickly they can put things together. We appreciate it. But I thought, I've been burdened this morning a little bit. We've heard a lot from Nepal. And so we're going to share some updates from Nepal, from the Woon family. I was reading this morning in the book of Esther, and I got thinking about how Mordecai believed that Esther was placed in that position for such a time as this. And I look at the wounds, and I have no doubt God placed them there for this purpose, what's going on right now. And they believe it looks like it could be years that they'll be doing just relief work over and over again. Things are so desperate there. I just read this morning about a man that died of starvation because he just couldn't get anything. And so we're gonna go over some of that tonight. We'll have some pictures. We'll show you some video if we can get it together. We do have some video that we'll share with you. And so, and then we'll spend some time in prayer for the Woons family and talk about missions a little bit tonight. And so it just burned my heart this morning. But I think in order to pray for them, it'd be good to be better informed. But also, we are receiving donations for the Woon family over the next couple weeks yet. And so if you'd like to put something in for them, you're more than welcome to do that. And we will try to get them. So the reason we're putting a cutoff on is simply because we want to get it together quickly and get it over quickly. If it goes on for years, we may do it again and again. I don't know. But right now, let's get something together as quickly as we can to get it over to the Woon family to be a help in the relief efforts. All right? All right, Brother Cal.
All right, we'll start by saying a big thank you for everyone that helped out with our track and field. The day went fairly well. We had a couple issues that came up, but a lot of people were able to help out with that, and so I greatly appreciate it. And I told Cindy I'd embarrass her, but everything that went properly at the track and field day was her doing, and everything that was messed up was my doing. So I do greatly appreciate Cindy and all the help that she did. We do, and then the ladies' tea as well. The ladies' tea had their tea thing yesterday. So, and then everyone told me that it was pretty nice. I don't know. So, May 16 and 17, there's a church camp out that my dad's hosting down by the bus barn. He'll have his trailer there, and they're going to do a bonfire and then a barbecue as well after the evening service. There's a bridal shower for Jocelyn Foreman. That's going to be May 16th here at the church at 1 p.m. May 20th is the Academy's play, The Limerick of the Leprechaun, I believe it is. Ladies' Conference up at Faithway, May 22nd, 23rd. And then the teens also, the same days, the 22nd, 23rd of May, have an all-night activity out at Camp Yes. So we'll be doing a bonfire and some night games, capture a flag and scalp, and times of preaching as well. So do let me know if you're attending that so I can get the rides arranged. We do have a Master Club graduation banquet on the 28th of May. So we're going to be inviting all our parents out to see their children and the awards that they've won, and then also having a meal together with them. So my dad is asking for some extra help in the kitchen and then our church people to come and congratulate the children and meet our parents as well. I guess we'll close in prayer. And Patrick, I'm going to pick on you. Close in prayer, please.
Dear Lord, thank you for the service, Lord. I pray for this family in Nepal, Lord. Some video of them, Lord, prepare our hearts for that, Lord. Just thank you for this beautiful day today. In your name, amen.
You are dismissed.